It is the APC podcast-ish, sort of, coming to you from SB Nation and AcmePackingCompany.com. We are a couple hours removed from the end of the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft. I'm Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod. They took a cornerback. I waited all day for them to take a defensive player or trade back. All that was normal, but something was not normal. And that is some smoke screens on smoke screens on smoke screens, some stuff going on with the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And we thought we'd fire up the pod really quickly at 9:30 a.m. Friday Mountain Time to talk about it. And I am joined by, firstly, Ben Foldy. How are you, man?
I have been having some stomach, like stress-related stomach issues. I had an endoscopy last week.
Oh, man.
This is not helping.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it related? Definitely not helping. I'm also joined by Tex Western. Tex, how are you doing?
Well, the week started off good. Got my second dose of the vaccine, so I had I have antibodies surging through my bloodstream now, so that's exciting. And then, yeah, yesterday happened. So I feel like I was hit by a truck all over again, just the proverbial truck rather than a physical one.
Yeah, and I took I got the second round of Pfizer yesterday morning, and I actually took these 2 days of work off, and I was all geared up to just kind of like lay in bed and just kind of sleep through the first round. As I mentioned, like they'd probably take a defensive player or not take anyone, and then midday comes this drama, a report that I saw on Twitter saying that Aaron Rodgers does not want to return to the Packers. That's the first blurb that I saw. And then Ben, you sent me a flurry of things. Tex, I don't know, you're plugged in as someone who's vetting sources for the blog. Can you give us like a chronology or sort of like what happened yesterday?
So something started where it sounded like, I think it was Paul Allen, the Vikings play-by-play guy, reported that the 49ers had offered a trade for Rodgers, and that involved like the third pick and multiple players. And all of us were like, why is in the world is the Vikings play-by-play announcer supposedly breaking news about Aaron Rodgers?
That was odd.
So things that was bizarre, and things just, you know, got crazier and crazier from there. And I think it started with Schefter and ESPN reporting that there's, you know, that Rodgers wants out and the team has tried to fly down and convince him to come back and things. And then, you know, there's some clarifications around that. And then by, you know, 7 o'clock at night, an hour before the draft, you've got people from Denver media saying that a deal for sending Rodgers to the Broncos is practically done. And so we're spending the next hour leading up to the draft and the first hour of the draft waiting for Denver to go on the clock to see if Rodgers gets dealt away. And then finally, afterwards, Gutekunst basically comes out and says what he said, you know, what we all expect him to say, that no, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. And we're, you know, we took one call about it and we basically hung up the phone right away. And that's that. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. I chatted with you a little bit about this on the APC Slack, but that blurb that we saw that said a Denver deal was, I think it was like, quote, as done as it can be. And I immediately thought, well, no, because that would mean that it is done and it is not done. So that to me immediately was a red flag of like some smokescreen language, and actually like calmed me down. When I heard it phrased that way, I was like, oh, that means the exact opposite.
Yeah, it was just a whole bunch of weird sources flying all over the place. And, you know, trying to sort through what's valid and what's not and where things actually stand is really quite a mess. But I mean, I think where we're at now is, you know, the Packers aren't going to trade him. If they would have, you know, if they were going to trade him, they would have done it last night. They practically speaking really can't from a financial perspective until June from a salary cap perspective. So it doesn't make sense financially to do it. And, you know, I think Gutekunst certainly seems like he at least publicly is saying that he thinks there's a chance they can get him back in the building and come to some agreement on a contract. So it's a matter of now seeing just how far does Rodgers want to dig in his heels. Will he actually just, you know, full blown not report and refuse to come to camp? Or, you know, will he suck it up and come back this summer, play out the rest of this year, and then get traded, you know, next offseason sometime?
Yeah. Ben, he doesn't have any leverage, right? What is he trying to accomplish?
I think he has lots of leverage. Like, I don't think he has leverage to force them to make a move, but I think he has a ton of leverage with the public and with the fan base and with the league. I mean, he has a ton of ability. Like, he basically single-handedly destroyed the reputation of the Packers as a well-run organization for the past 2 decades in about 3 hours. I mean, like,
yeah,
to me, that's a lot of leverage. You know, I don't know what his leverage is to force a trade. But you know, in terms of the power he wields over the Packers, I personally feel like you know, as far as anybody in the league goes, he has more leverage than anybody else. He's the reigning MVP, carried him to 2 consecutive NFC championship games. There's a pervasive narrative among the league that the team hasn't done enough to support him. He can really nuke, you know, decades of perception of this franchise as a well-run, you know, efficient organization, I think.
You said two things there that I want to hit on real quick. Firstly, that the team hasn't done enough to support him. We'll come back to that real quick. But you mentioned the fans and the fans being on his side. I was quickly listening to Tom Silverstein on the JS Online Packers podcast this morning. And so he runs a live blog that they do for events, and they did that for the draft. And he said, you know, there's a couple thousand fans in there. And if that is any indication of how the fans are going to feel when this break finally happens, we should be ready. He should be ready. Aaron Rodgers should be ready for a Favian situation of people not being too happy with him. And I don't think he's banking on that or ready for that. You're shaking your head. You don't believe that.
Well, first off, I think that's a misremembrance of the Favian situation. I mean, I worked with a dude who wore a Favre Jets jersey to work. And I was just like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I'm Team Favre. Like, and there was a lot of that. I mean, I think it's really easy to forget how quickly that went away once Rodgers was Rodgers.
I was in a band with a guy who was Team Favre.
In that first summer, like, there was plenty of Team Favre, and there were plenty of people who wanted to, like, Ted Thompson's head on a pike, you know, somewhere in McGuanago or something. so, yeah, I think A, that's a misremembrance of the Favian sitch, and B, I mean, I think, and again, it's like, it's the same with you know, going back to this leverage question, like, he's got way more leverage than Favre had. I mean, you know, if not just because we have no idea what's behind him.
Right. Haven't seen Love throw a pass.
Yeah.
And he didn't end last season, you know, with a stupid Favian, you know, overtime playoff interception. You know, like, there's all these, you know, there's all these reasons why I think Rodgers has an abundance more leverage than Favre did in 2007 or 8 or whenever that was.
Yeah, I hear you there. And I completely agree with the Favre comparison. I just think in this case, there's so much more blame to go around. In that instance, you know, Favre was, you know, again, he was waffling back and forth on retirement for years. You know, Rodgers falls into their lap at 24 in 2005. And, you know, it makes sense. In this case, I think you've got to, you know, you are going to see more people who are going to have a backlash against the organization just because of the trade up to get Jordan Love and at a time when it didn't feel like it was necessary. I still kind of come down as, you know, both sides are problems here. And, you know, the trade up was and the selection was an issue, but, you know, Rodgers is his end game, and what is the reason for his gripe and grudge at this point? Is he still holding on to feeling disrespected because they traded up for Love, even though he went out and just had one of the best seasons a quarterback's ever had, won the MVP and, you know, demonstrated how good he is, and now is getting all these public comments from the team saying that they want him around and apparently is getting contract extension offers from the team as well and turning them down. Like I don't understand what more he wants them to do for him now.
Yeah.
The Love pick is already made. You know, that's done. That's in the past. Obviously he has to deal with Love in the building now, but what does he want them to do now that they're not doing? Because it certainly sounds like they've come to him, you know, offering to restructure his deal, to extend him, give him some more guaranteed money. But if he's turning that down, I just don't understand, you know, what the big hang up now is from his perspective.
Yeah. And to your point, there definitely is blame all around this time. Goody kind of said as much in his presser, more or less apologizing for the way the Love pick went down and not looping in Rodgers earlier. Not that he needs his permission to make the pick, but he's your generational talent, star player. The whole thing runs, through him. And, I get how Goody could have handled that better. So I'm sympathetic to that. But then I want to, you've both now kind of touched on this, but the idea that the team hasn't done enough. And I know that, Tex, you want the Packers to draft a wide receiver this year. It seems like it's a need. We got a lot of contracts coming up. But in general, I mean, they scored so many points last year. They have great talent on offense, and drafting on defense helps Rodgers ultimately. I don't know. I don't buy it.
Well, and the theory is that help for Rodgers apparently has to be at the wide receiver position, right? That's the kind of underlying assumption that people are making by saying that they haven't drafted a receiver. Yeah, well, they just went out and they re-signed David Bakhtiari at 30 to a top of market deal. They just went out and brought back Aaron Jones to a top of market running back deal. So it's not like they're not investing in the offense. And you can find good receivers in day two of the draft. I think, and I hope that they'll get one today. I've got a couple guys that I've got my eye on, but I'm seeing people that, they haven't drafted a first round receiver. We know that. We know that they've gone to that well in the second round numerous times. They haven't done it in a while since Adams. So I think it's due. But you can build an offense a number of different ways. And LaFleur's scheme and everything showed that, when you've got that one dominant receiver like you have in Adams, you can build around him with other types of pieces. And I agree. I think the argument that they're not building an offense around him or building a team around him, you know, it's a very myopic view of the receiver position is the only way to do that.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's what Rodgers thinks, but Ben, I know you got to get going. Where do you stand? Like, what's your agita level? How you feel?
Well, okay. I mean, I've been trying to explain to people in my life who don't have a stake in this matter. I mean, not that I have a real stake in this matter, but I've been trying to explain it to people in my life, how it feels. And the only thing I can really think of is, like, you know, my whole life I've had Favre and Rodgers, and I've always known that that's going to come to an end at some, you know, someday, but I thought I'd have time to prepare for it. And I thought I would, I thought there'd be like hospice, you know, or something, you know, and I was totally blindsided by yesterday. I had no sense that that was happening.
Yeah.
And so my agita level is like kind of off the charts. I mean, I guess I'll get over it. But like, you know, I was talking to my colleague who's a Bears fan. And, you know, I should count my blessings, right? Like, I mean, he was pointing out, he was like saying, Eric Kramer has the single season record for passing yards and TD passes. And I was like, yeah, count my blessings. Like, maybe it's time, you know, to regress to mediocrity. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know what the end game looks like. Right. And that's the most agitating part of all. Like, I'm not ready to say goodbye. I'm not ready to, you know, I'm not ready to assume that Rodgers is in the right here either. Like, right. I'm not, like, I don't have any kind of like sense of, I had much stronger feelings about Favre leaving in a positive light. And I think, I mean, it's also the fact that we have no idea what's behind him, like just none. And, you know, having to play quarterback roulette at this point in my life is not something I want to do. It's not something I've ever done, and it's not something I want to learn how to do, and I don't want to do it. That's all I have to say about that.
I love how personal this is getting for you, because I tweeted this out a little tongue-in-cheek yesterday. I said, why doesn't Aaron Rodgers like me anymore? I can change.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, no, it really does. It's like, I hesitate to say this, because my parents are together, and we're always together, but it's like, the only thing I can think about is like, why are my parents breaking up?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. why can't you fix it? Why can't you work it out? Like, I don't get it. And I don't. I mean, I honestly don't get it. I'm like, I don't understand why, you know, $46 million or whatever it is and two NFC championships in a row. Like, why isn't that enough? Like, what's going on here? And I don't know. And it freaks me out that I don't know.
Yeah, same. I know you got to run. Feel free to drop at any time. Tex, do you have any other thoughts? Anything we haven't hit on here or just like feelings? Let's get our feelings out.
Yeah, I think that's a great encapsulation of it. It's why. Why are we in this position, given what we know that each side has tried to do? And it seems a little self-inflicted by Rodgers from seeming not open to negotiation. It's certainly self-inflicted by the Packers by drafting Love and handling that the way they did. I struggle to see why there can't be some room for common ground when it's clear that the Packers still want him around as the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I saw Matub tweet this out, and it kind of encapsulated something that I've been thinking recently, and I don't have the tweet pulled up verbatim, but basically saying, like, you know, imagine as Rodgers, imagine living through being drafted as Favre's replacement, Favre making that kind of miserable for you and for the fans and for the organization, and then turning around and just doing some version of that to Jordan Love and the organization again. And I'm not saying that it's all on Rodgers. I think that there is blame on both sides, and I'm not on anyone's team here, and I personally I would follow Rodgers to the end of the earth in some ways, but I don't know, it just seems like, you know, where's all this mindfulness training going in this moment?
I don't know, it's hard. It's like, you know, intellectually he owes me nothing, right? Like he's given me more than enough. Emotionally I'm not there, and I'm not sure if I will ever be there. And that's not how sports works. So like, it's difficult for me to reconcile those dueling kind of parts of myself right now.
All right. I feel like that's a good place to leave it. It's difficult to reconcile the dueling parts of ourselves. We are, you know, it's the duality
of man.
I mean,
well, in the weird way too, I imagine that's kind of happening for Rodgers on some level. Like, I mean, the other thing I think that really worries me about this situation is, like, we know how spite driven he can be and how, right, like, you know, I'm going to prove my point. Yep. And like, it seems like we're at that point. And I don't know how you get Rodgers off of that point.
For the last decade, I've been like, there's no way he's going to go like play for the Vikings or something out of spite. Now I'm like, he could totally do that.
He will prove his point. Yeah. I'm not sure what that looks like in this situation.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I mean, theoretically, we should have been having a round one recap, but Rodgers overshadows the draft. And I don't know, we're all just left sitting, stewing in our agita and wondering what's next and why mom and dad are fighting. And oh man, I don't know, Tex, I guess you can point people to the blog for the rest of the draft, and then we'll have a conversation about the football team and the new players later on in the week.
Yeah, no, we've got we're covering it all weekend long here. So got some stuff on Eric Stokes up already. And that pick, when that came down, it was kind of just like, we've blown our emotional load so far earlier in the night that there's nothing left. Yeah. So, take a look, acmepackingcompany.com. We'll be there throughout the whole weekend through undrafted signings tomorrow evening.
Follow it there. Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. I'm Zach Rapport at Zach Rapport on Twitter. And we're going to wrap it up here for this early morning podcast. The first time I've ever had coffee at my desk during a podcast. And I don't know. Draft weekend. Woo. Stay tuned. Keep it locked in to acmepackingcompany.com. Later, guys.